Gospel of Mark in chapter 10. Look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we are privileged beyond our understanding to be before you on this day, set apart to bring all of yesterday's together, in order that we might proceed into all of the tomorrows. God, to stop as we do, together looking to you, to deal with us collectively and individually, that we might be to your honor and your glory. So deal with our heads and hearts for the children, for the sick, for all. God, help us. In Christ's name, amen. In the Gospel of Mark, we share together, going, if I can, to verse 23 for a little reminder of the context. And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answereth again, and saith unto them, children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, remember the word enter is the same one you have in John and 3 and 5. To enter the kingdom of God, you've got to be born again. Enter. So how hard is it to get into the good place from the bad place, from the wrong place to the right place? Boy, it's easier for a camel to go through a sewing needle than it is for a human to get there. Verse 26. They were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? Who can be saved? Jesus, looking upon them, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. All things are possible. The impossible is quite possible with God. Now, and so now a response, Peter. Peter's going to respond, well, here we are, God, and it's impossible to go forward in and of and by ourselves. We can't enter. We can't be saved. We can't go through a sewing needle. It's impossible. So, God, here we are. We've committed ourselves. Verse 28. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel's. If you come to me, I'm the only God and the only Savior. There is no human, nothing in creation. Everything in creation I created. You cannot honor, worship, respect, make anything, anywhere, anyone, anyhow equal to me. Never. So we must honor God. I'm a believer, first and foremost, married, husband, wife, doesn't make any difference. I became a person who allowed the living God to be my Lord and Savior. Now, and thus, so you've left them all, Peter. That's right. But, verse 30, he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands. And you're going to have all the benefits. You aren't going to lose. You cannot put me first and not come out good. You want to have a good marriage? Love me with all your heart. You want to be a good employee? Look to me with all your heart and depend upon me. You want to have good health physically? Look to me with all your heart. You want to have safety, security, certainty as you go down the corridor of time? Put me first. But, put me first. You'll never lose. Never lose. You put me first. And I'll give you 100 times what you could ever have in this life. In this life. Let alone the next one. Now, I'll finish the sentence. Verse 30. And you're not only going to have all the benefits, but you're going to have the conflict, contest, with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. You're going to have, it's not going to be easy, because it's going to seem like you've lost everything, and actually, you've lost nothing. Because actually, what you think you've lost was never yours in the first place. It was never yours. Your own physical life isn't yours. It isn't yours. I gave it to you. And I'm going to take it away. It isn't yours. I want to keep it. You can't. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, encouragement, and to remind you and myself, remember, you don't have to turn there, in Matthew chapter 16, 25, 26. What will a profit a person, a man, a woman, boy, or girl, who gain the whole world if you could have everything, not just some things, if you could have everything, everything, you would be the boss and owner of it all. Now that's really pushing it, isn't it? To have everything. If you could have everything and lose your own soul, what will you give in exchange for your soul? So if I have my dreams, my work, my home, my children, my health, my wealth, my job, my marriage, my have it all. Peter, you left it all. I did. I left my wife back there. You aren't going to lose. She isn't going to lose either. Now, if you're going to do that and look to me, then you're going to find out that you aren't going to lose anything. And if you were to gain the whole world, which is more important, your hands full of everything or your heart safe in forever? Which is more important to you? Which is more valuable to you? To have what you want? Your dreams, your work, your home, school, pleasure, kids, sports, everything? You got to have it, yay! Really? What will you give to save your soul? Sobering, isn't it? Wow. Now, having said that, then we shall proceed with the understanding, in addition, you don't have to turn there, Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to want to please him. For she that cometh to God must believe that what? That he is. And that he is a rewarder, a payer in full, of anyone that diligently seeks him. You cannot seek him and come out bankrupt. You come out bankrupt. It's impossible. Impossible. You can't put him. If you put me first, I will pay in full. You allow me to be who I am, and I'll pay you. How? I will be to you God. For real. But you got to have faith. Without it, nothing. Nothing's going to happen. Now, having said that, over if you would, for our little exercise that leads us into tonight, I hope. Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. In Exodus chapter 2, you would recall Israel has spent 400 years in slavery in the land of Goshen in Egypt, building pyramids, etc., etc., etc. Now, 400 years. And they're slaves. Now, in the process, I'm going to pick up, just so you get the mood, God, why pick them? God, you took, because you made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And since they weren't doing well, you sent them to Egypt, and they've been there 400 years to develop. Now, and what are you waiting for? I'm waiting for them as a nation, slaves. I'm waiting for them to awaken. Chapter 2 of Exodus, verse 23. 2 and 23. And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. He had an understanding. He knew, respect, understanding. He knew where they were coming from and what they were up against. Chapter 3. Dealing with Moses in the bush, verse 6, chapter 3, verse 6. Moreover, he said to Moses, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. I know the heartache and headache. I've had them there. It took 400 years. 400 years for them to get there. They could have yelled out, slaves, slaves, for 100 years. But they didn't. 200 years. They didn't. 300 years. They didn't. They could have said, help. They never said help. Never said it. Years of people's lives go by, and they never get to God. Now, and thus, chapter 3, verse 16. God to Israel, to Moses, go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I said, verse 17, and I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to do that. I'm going to rescue you from Egypt in a most wonderful, extraordinary way. Now, and I'm going to do it. And you have to understand why I'm doing it. Over to Deuteronomy, again, chapter 7. Deuteronomy, chapter 7. I want to know why these slaves? And, verse 6. Thou art an holy people, separated. Now, how do they get separated? When God made a covenant, made an agreement, a contract, a promise to Abraham to be completed in the line of Abraham, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel. I'm committed, God said. I'm committed. Now, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special, peculiar, prized people unto him, unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did set his love upon you. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people. For you were the fewest of all people. of all the people in the earth, of all the nations in the earth, you guys in Goshen, 2 million of you, are the smallest group of people in the whole world. That is out there. Egypt, Assyria, Africa, there they are. You're the smallest group. But I made a commitment to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So now, you know, going a bunch of slaves, and you're going to be a nation, and you're going to be a special nation to the nations. You're going to show forth God's rule, God's reign, a healthy, holy respect, reverence for God, thus to worship Him. God will be your government. God will be the person you worship and respect. And the 12 tribes, each of the 12 tribes of Israel are going to have their part. They're going to have a wonderful part. Do you know the part is only wonderful if it's found in the whole? You take it out of the whole and it's not so wonderful. Now, to get that, here you are, you have, let's see what part of the body you think is wonderful. Your liver has over 100 functions. Livers are pretty important, you know. And you go and take the liver, and I'm going to put it in a nice jar here. It's your liver now. And you're able to, for the moment, make believe, live without your liver. So here's your liver up here in a jar. It is your liver. What would you tell me? What about your liver? It cannot function. It does not find its fulfillment in a jar. It only finds its fulfillment in the rest of the body. The part demands the whole in order to be what it's supposed to be. You can't take a part apart from the whole. The part belongs in the whole. You can paint a wonderful scene of a little section of, make believe you're a painter. And here's a wonderful painting of the countryside. And you take a little section, just a little section, and you take a piece of the canvas out and paint grass on it. And put that piece of canvas with the grass on it and put it on the table in front of you when you have lunch. How impressive is it? But put that piece of canvas with the grass back into the great scene of the countryside. Ah, it fulfills itself. Now, Israel, each tribe has a part in the whole. You want to hang on to that. And for believers, each believer can only enjoy in its totality, in its fullness, having a part in the body. There's no separate believers. You separate from the body and you don't have any. I can't help it. No more than your liver. It's not going to go anywhere. Now, so if you would, keeping in mind, picking up, please, in Joshua chapter 1. So each tribe has a part in the whole. Each person in each tribe has their place and portion to possess. Each person in the tribe has a place and portion. There's no one left. There's no blade of grass that is not there. The blade of grass is nothing in the big field. It is. It's part of the whole. And every blade of grass, as it were, has a place and a portion. Israel was to be a light to the world, to the whole world. And they were given, as you know, Deuteronomy chapter 32. God gave them the land of Israel before there was any division, before they were there. When God divided the nations in Genesis chapter 10, He understood that he was going to go in the very center of the earth. He was going to have Israel, Palestine, for Israel. Now, chapter Joshua, they cross the River Jordan by faith, the same as they get out of the Red Sea by faith. And in chapter Joshua 1, chapter 1, oh, going if I can to verse 3. And every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said unto Moses, I have given you this, I have given you this, your place, your portion, as a nation. As a nation. And in the process, I'm going to give it to you, not putting all of this together, but enough, from the wilderness, and this Lebanon, remember the Lebanese mountains up in the north Syria, the Lebanon. The wilderness in the south, in the Lebanon in the north, under the great river, the river Euphrates, all the way to the east, and all the land of the Hittites under the great sea, that's the Mediterranean, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. That's in the west, the sun goes down. All of this is yours. All of this is your land. All of it. Now, in order to just get that, I just read it, but just to get it. You know, if you took the six New England states, and you took them and you bunched them together, you would have 32,000 square miles. I know that's impressive to you. And if I add Pennsylvania and New York, I have 135,000 square miles. What you just read is over 250,000 square miles. I've given them that. Hang on to that. That's theirs. Got it? Get a little dimension of it, you know? Now, in the light of that, and they're going to go and pursue, chapter 1, verse 14, remember they're going to go and cross the River Jordan. They're going to go, the 2.5 tribes don't. But they all have to go because you can't be 2.5 tribes on the west side, on the east side. You guys cannot possess your land until everyone has theirs. That's the rule. So you can leave your families there. You're all going to have to cross the Jordan to go fight. No one's exempt. The whole fights for the parts. Now, and thus, and I'll read the last part of verse 14. But you shall pass before your brethren, armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them until, verse 15, until the Lord have given your brethren rest as he hath given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession. And what? What are you going to do in your own? What are you going to do in your possession that's yours? You're going to experience it and enjoy it. Hang on now. You're supposed to enjoy your God, his God, impossible. God makes possible the impossible in the nation of Israel, in the body of Christ. Wow. Now, so thus, They were to enjoy their portion, their place, their part. They were to possess it in the land. They were to enjoy it, and it required, as we shared, all the tribes to do so, to enter in, to have it for everybody. Then we shared together the physical body is the same way. And therefore, what are you going to do? Well, in the physical body, you're going to keep your heart right, because that's the only way you're going to go. And physical body, you may have a given part that isn't functioning too well. And a given part may affect, AFF, effect, EFF, infect disease, contagious, infect. It can do all of that. But what if all the other parts of your body do? You can't escape. No, you together. And you put together and you move, you move, you move. And all the parts of the body function to help the liver, to help whatever it is in your system. They are all to be cooperating under the head for the health of the body, which is at war, to win the war, to overcome all the obstacles and the conflicts. That means a state of health. And when you're losing, you get sick. You want to keep fighting. Your body's going to do it whether you like it or not, whether you realize it or not. So now you got to keep your heart right. And so now Joshua chapter 1, picking up please. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. So I want, in order to get everyone's portion, part, place, for everyone to have their personal position in the painting, in the field, in Israel, then you've got to go and be strong and of good courage. Because it isn't going to just happen. Every place, here's this massive piece of land comparatively, and every place to put the sole of your foot. You guys never got your foot out of a little section. You never advanced. It was a battle for you to just have that little piece. Think of all the things that God has given you. Right now, if you're saved in Christ, and how few of them you personally enjoy. What part of Christ in you do you enjoy? How's that for a question? What part? Where does he fit in to enjoy in your life? So now, God, help us. Got to be strong and of good courage. And in verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. So you're going to go and look to God, inch by inch and step by step, and you're going to go and possess the land. That's right. And you're going to go and possess the land, and the word possess means to take possession, to seize by force, to claim an inheritance. Someone's there, and you're going to claim that as your inheritance. And that's what they're going to do. They're going into the land. How are they going to get? Here's the nation. Here's the land. Big land. Here's the land. Now, God, how are they going to get this? How are they going to know? Do you care, God, about each blade of grass? Do you care about each believer? Do you care about each little Israelite? I do. Now, having said that, how are we going to get what's ours? Over, if you would, to chapter 13. No, I'm going to leave that whole. I'm going to do it backwards. Chapter 14. I'm going to read verse 1. These are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribes and of the children of Israel distributed for inheritance to them. Now, how did everyone get their piece of property, everything. Verse 2. By lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses for the 9.5 tribes. So, remember, there's 2.5 tribes on the other side already. So here are the 9.5 tribes, and they're all going to get it by lot. By lot. There's going to be a drawing to know who gets what. Okay. Now, hang on to that. Chapter 15. Thus then was the lot of the tribe of the children of Judah. I'm going to just get that part. The children of Judah. By their families, even to the border of Edom. And the wilderness of Zin southward was the uttermost part of the south coast. So here's the children of Lot. Okay. and the lot for the children of Judah, I should say. Now, over, if you would, to chapter 16. Chapter 18, better. Chapter 18. And in chapter 18, you have the seven tribes. And in verse 6. Ye shall therefore describe the land into seven parts, and shall bring the description hither to me, Moses, that I may cast lots for you, the here, before the Lord your God. In other words, divide the land into seven different sections, and I'm going to choose a lot to know which tribe goes where. That's what I'm going to do. Chapter 19, verse 1. And the second lot came forth to Simeon, even for the tribe of the children of Simeon, etc., according to the family. And that's south. Simeon's all the way in the south. Now, so we have God's place, God's portion for them, and they are part of the whole, very personal, very precious. It's personal. It's their personal piece of property. So you don't have to guess. They got a personal piece of property. It's theirs, wonderfully theirs. Now, back to chapter 13. Chapter 13. And if I may, picking up, please, in verse 1, 13:1. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Verse 2. This is the land that yet remaineth, all the borders of the Philistines unto Geshuri. So here's all the land, and you haven't taken. This is the land you got, and there was a whole lot left. Picking up quickly, chapter 23. Chapter 23. And in verse 4. God, you gave one big piece of property. He did. Wow. Chapter 23, picking up, please, in verse 4. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot, that's how you each get your place, by lot, these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan, with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward, that's the Mediterranean. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them out from your sight, and ye shall possess their land as the Lord your God hath promised you. Verse 6, be ye therefore very courageous to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside therefrom from the right hand or to the left. Now, verse 7, that ye come not again among all these nations, these that remain. Here's this big hunk of property, along with the rest of it, that remain among you. Neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as you have done unto this day. Cleave. Verse 12. Else, if you don't trust God, if you don't by faith look to God, if you do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, the nations that you didn't conquer, even these that remain among you and shall make marriages with them and go in unto them and they to you. If you go and do all this, know for a certainty, verse 13, that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, scourges in your sides, thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off the good land which the Lord your God hath given you. Now, if you don't get them out, you get the little place that you got, but you want to have all. There's a whole lot more for you. But you've got this. And if you don't trust God and keep this part, you'll never get the other part. And it will become an enemy for you. What do you know if you go around Israel right now? Especially if you go north and east and south. Muslim. Iraq. Iran. Hey, that's ours. What are they all upset about? We've got to get rid of Israel. We've got to get rid of Israel. Israel has rightful ownership. We've got to get rid of them. Ah, now, hang on. And there's so much. So think, if you would, for make it personal so you get it. Just think now, here we are looking to God. And in the process of all of that, as we look to God, we're going to get what the little bit we get. We're saved. To have the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. To know the forgiveness of sins. For real. Not just to say it. To experience. I am forgiven. I am being forgiven. I will always be forgiven in the wonderful person of Jesus Christ. Let alone anything else. That's yours. Think of all that's yours. Yours. Not the other guys. You got each one has a piece of place. But that's yours. You got, well, we're going to pick it up. Would you please note in the light of that. So Israel, they were to exercise what they'd been given. And they were to exercise it rightly. They were to possess what they had in order to possess the more. You know, to the wise, the wise become wiser. The one who pulls it in gets more and more and more. That's the rule. You get stingy, sloppy, and you say, I got enough. I graduated from kindergarten and I'm ready to go. You're going to lose. I don't care if you had a PhD and a DD and an FFF and anything you want. You haven't even begun your education. It is so wonderfully vast if you would ever claim it. How many do you think claim it? We're quite content. I know where the Gospel of John is, and I know there was a Genesis flood. Yay! That's all we know. Poor. And then you don't even have what you have. Because you can't enjoy it. You can't enjoy. You're supposed to enjoy what's yours. Not what somebody else's. What's yours? What is your personal thing? God personally created you, didn't he? How do you think you got here? I told you, I always picked the Ming Dynasty for some reason. You could have been born in the Ming Dynasty. But you weren't. And mom and dad can do whatever. But hey, they don't make persons. God does. God created you. He gave you physical birth. With a wonderful, wonderful purpose to make it, to give you yours. This is your. God didn't put you here for nothing. So that what? You'd have a spiritual birth. So that you could go from the earthly, physical. You can't go to the heavenly till you get the earthly. You got to be physically born to be spiritually born. And spiritually born brings us into a whole nother realm. And we'll put all that together. Now. Having said that little bit, therefore, and remember Israel in the future is, without going there, Israel in the future, you know what? In Ezekiel 48, God is going to have the tribes, here's the temple and here's all the land with the seven tribes or whatever, here they are. And then you're going to have up here in the north, 1, 2, 3, 4. And then you come down below this great temple area all the way from the sea over. Wow. And then you go to the ones underneath. God, are you going to give them all something? I am. I'm going to give them all again. But it'll be a whole different ball game. They're going to be able to have it and to enjoy it. Now, one of the problems, of course, with Israel was they were discontent at the Exodus. They were not happy leaving slavery because they were used to their paycheck. They were used to security. They were used to the friends and neighbors and programs. They were used to all the agenda that made life wonderful for them on a weekly basis, daily basis. And they were not particularly excited to leave Egypt, but they did. When they went to the wilderness, they continued the murmuring and mumbling for 40, 38, 40 years. They went, and then they fought to get the land, their lot. But getting their lot wasn't, were they happy with the pieces of property? No, no, no. They were discontent still. And then you have the judges, everyone does that which is right in their own eyes. They all had, but they never enjoyed what they had. And you know why they never enjoyed it? Because they didn't include God. You have work. You have all of you work somehow, right? School work, some work, don't you? How much do you enjoy work? Now, maybe if you're whatever, I don't know, you might like work. How much do you enjoy your marriage? How much do you enjoy your physical health? Assuming you have a little bit. Here we are. What are we doing? Well, we have all of this. And we have it. And you know what? If we don't relate, what's the problem? Over, if you were to see it. You're right here anyway. Chapter 24, Judges. Judges chapter 24. No. Jay's right. Joshua. Jay. Joshua. Joshua 24. And may I pick up quickly in verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Now I'm talking about your piece of property. Joshua had his piece of property. He had it. But it was, he had a portion, a place, a garden, and everything. Ownership of the property. It was his. But you know what? He couldn't enjoy it unless he realized where it came from. God gave it to them according to Lot. God picked it. God picked that place for them. And all they had to do was make sure they were including God, or their whole life is a mess because they're trying to compare it with other people, with other things, with other workplaces, marriage places, all kinds of things. And they can't enjoy it as a person. It's for them. God, to work out for them that which is theirs, truly theirs. That is possible to have what is truly yours. You cannot have what is not yours. And you want to understand that, so you're in pursuit of it. And so, God, what do they do in verse 15? If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. And you know what they said? They said, because they never quit. They never quit. They never got the message. They still haven't got the message. They're going to get it. The end of verse 15. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Verse 16. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Back over, if you would. Verse 21. And the people said to Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. We will serve. We will hear what you say, God, and we'll do it. We'll serve. We are capable of exercising whatever you wish. without you particularly on top of us. Just leave us alone and we'll do it. That's what they said. And thus, they were of the same mind still. They're going to serve the Lord, but you know what? They have their piece of property. They have all of it. But where is God? The God who gave the property. You took the gift and lost the giver. And the gift is nothing. It's the giver. It's the giver. That's what you should have been excited about. The one who gave it. That's what Job was all excited about, you know. God had made him a perfect man. He had everything perfect. Money, health, wealth. Woo, what didn't he have? And God took it all away because the devil said, God, Job doesn't really honor you for you. And God said, I'm going to prove that he just wants me. I don't need to give him health or animals or servants or wealth. He just wants me. I'm going to prove it to you. Devil, you can do everything to crippling him, but don't kill him. And Job never quit. He only wanted God. Job, what are you telling us, Joshua? We're going to, oh God, what we have is no good without you. Being a human's no good without you. What good's it going to do? As you'll see it wonderfully so. Wow. So now, God. Wow. Did you get a little bit? I'm trying to get you to see. You've got a pile more that you haven't even touched. That is yours, personally yours. In this body right now. There's no one else in all of forever that will do it for you. There's no one that can give it to you. A lot of people will try to keep you from having it. Your old nature will keep you to try from having it. But you, no one has it to give except God. Isn't that wonderful? The devil isn't going to give it. The world system isn't going to give it. Your old nature isn't going to give it. You know, your friends, neighbors, oh, I got to be with the crowd. No, I don't. The gang. No. No, not at all. Thus, over in closing. Oh, we're going to have to. I hope you got a little bit. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. You would catch it at least the beginning of it. Remember, the lots were chosen. Here's the garment, the toga, and here's the pocket. The toga they wore, the robe, and that's where they carried a baby. They would carry animals. They would carry things right in here in their lap. Carry it like that. Remember the two stones. They would put the stones in order, because that's how the 12 tribes, they put the stones in, all different stones, one stone for each tribe. On the breastplate, one stone for each tribe. Shoulders, one stone for each tribe. In the lots, one stone for each tribe, whichever stone came out, that's the tribe that gets it. Here we are in our life, verse 33, the lot. There's your word. The lot is cast, thrown, hurled into the lap. Here we are, progressing through time, moving, and we're making choices and chance. Choices, 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 choices. Every day you make choices out of this. You have the right to draw out and make a choice. Now what? But the whole outworking of what you choose doesn't belong to us. It belongs to God. That's why there's no chance. And you need to see this. because it will help you immensely in going down what you do every day. You know, a shuttle is where they make rugs and everything. You've seen them with the back and forth and the threads and the twine and everything goes back and forth. The shuttles. The shuttles of his purpose move to carry out his own design. To seek not too soon to disapprove his work, nor yet assign dark motives when with silent tread you've used some sober fold. For lo, within each darker thread there twines a thread of gold. Spin cheerfully. He knows the way you plod. Spin carefully, spin prayerfully, but leave the thread with God. And remember, we shared these. I have this above my desk, actually. Do you know? And here's the threads. And if you just think of the shuttle watching the rug be, and on top, it's so beautiful. Do you ever look at the bottom of some rugs? You always put them the right side up, right? We see the bottom of what God has in mind. We're looking up his Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, this, that, all over the place. God, what? And then you look this way and that way, and we're looking all over. We aren't seeing what's happening. God, what are you doing? If you could see from my position, it would be quite different in your life. And a lot of you have had tough choices, and you have made them. God bless you for it. But hey, back to the beginning. You can't put me first, that I won't give you more than you could ever ask in this life and that which is to come. In the meanwhile, you're going to have a whole lot of trouble. Persecution, conflict, heartache, headache. But be of good cheer. Take your piece of property. Take your portion in life. Don't try to live somebody. You know, I don't tell you. Take heed unto what? Take heed unto yourself. Take heed unto yourself. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Don't live somebody else's life. Roll up your sleeves, God, and then connect to the whole world around you rightly and watch how it works out. There's so much more. And the trouble is, we want to get people like Israel. They were content to stay in Egypt as slaves, and not to be sons. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring. Thank you for your word. Thank you for, oh God, just the reality of just being alive on planet Earth. God, thanks. Without you, God, we're nomads. We're losing gamblers, as it were. We're gambling every day with our decisions, and we lose. God, help us. Deal with our heads and our hearts. For those who know you not as Lord and Savior, God, convince. For each one of us, God, we have shortchanged ourselves in having too little when there is so much. God, thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.